All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, first show of the month of April. No, it's not actually. I did last week's show in April, too. But either way, third show, quarantine edition, and we are coming to you on my back porch again. This time it's daytime. March last time we did the show, because I remember being out here on the back porch on March 31st, because it hadn't rained in the entire month of March, and it started raining at like 10:30 that night to break up the rain no-no for March. And so 10 days later, here we are again, only now it's a beautiful Friday morning, and it's April 10th, just to give you a frame of reference for when I'm recording this. I know you may be listening to it any point down the road in the next few days, but got a lot to talk about today, obviously. First of all, we had the new uniforms come out. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We had the Tom Brady interview on Howard Stern, which was a very long interview. He was on there for a couple hours, and it was cool to hear him talk about Tampa and a few other things that came up. We'll mention that a little bit. Of course, we've got some Jameis Winston news. We'll always find a way to sneak in some of that, and we've got some NFL draft stuff. The draft, folks, you know, it's so late in the – like, the draft always – it's just forever away from when you think it is. Like, it always feels like the draft's right around the corner, and it's never right around the corner. It's weeks away longer than you think. But we finally are inside the two-week radius now, as 13 days from right now, 2 weeks from last night, round one of the draft will take place. And so that's going forward. Everything's going to be virtual. In fact, Bruce Arians was on earlier. I think he talked to Jay Glazer or somebody on one of the radio shows earlier this week, and he said that he's not probably going to see Jason Light in person at all until the draft, or until even after the draft, but he won't see him before the draft, and they're doing everything by phone, everything virtual, so they've been doing a lot of interviews on Zoom and all that stuff, and that's great. Sounds good. I don't think it's a big deal. I know a lot of people, a lot of NFL insider executive types have been saying, oh, they need to push this back. We can't prepare the way we want to prepare, and it's fine. Like, honestly, if you gave these guys the chance, they would delay every draft for months more down the road, because it's just these type A types that just, they could never get enough of the interviews and the film watching and on and on and on. And I get it. I mean, they're preparation types. That's what the draft's all about. I'm not blaming them. But if you ask them, they're always going to say, oh, no, we need more time, especially if any little thing is different than usual, because they're such creatures of habit. But they also don't like to admit that even with all the work they do in a normal year, they're completely guessing on a lot of this stuff. They're going on hunches and just, you know, I mean, you can go on game film, but even that, it's just an inexact science, and it's no more or less of an inexact science this year, just because a few of the interviews they would have done were done on Skype or Zoom or whatever instead of in person, and they didn't get to go send their own coaches to someone's pro day and time of 40 and all that stuff. You know, again, I get why they'd want to have that. I don't blame them at all, but that's not enough of a reason to push the draft back. And as someone who, like you, if you're listening to this, you're a sports fan, as someone who has starred for anything at all right now in the sports world to be live and happening, like, as I'm watching it, instead of all these old sporty events they show on tape, which are never entertaining to me because I already know what happened. You know, we get some live action stuff in 2 weeks, and I'm geeked. And I'm not usually even one of those guys that goes crazy about the draft. I usually kind of take the draft for granted. I oftentimes in other years go on and on and on about how people need to relax and with the draft and stop making all these mock drafts and stop acting like it's an actual sporting event when it's not. And I've said, hey, just give me a sheet of paper with all the draft picks on it and I'd be happy. Like, I don't need the whole process. But this year I need the process. This year I'm eating it up and I can't wait. This is the most I've ever looked forward to the draft. I cannot wait for 2 weeks from last night, 13 days from today, and we'll talk about that more later in the show. The Free Stretch, as it always is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Lots is still going on over there, okay? First of all, everything that they can do in person, besides the actual purchase of the car, which you will go down there to do that, and even that, if you like what you see online, you can do that online too, but everything you can do in person, they can do online too, so go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You obviously would need to go there in person to test drive the car, and you can, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, where they've always been. But everything else, if you want to, go to the website, check it out. It's a great time to buy a car. Listen, I know times are tough for a lot of people, and I know this is not like what you think of as a great time, but it actually is a great time to buy a car. And so if you're someone who is maybe going to do that anyway, pounce. Like, go check it out. Check out the website. And, you know, once you get back, once we all get back from this quarantine thing, the actual dealership on Dale Mabry is going to be undergoing a few changes. I know they're building inside, and they've always had a little, like, coffee counter in there, but they're actually renovating the inside. There's going to be a Big Storm Brewery Cafe inside of Bill Curry Ford coming soon. So everybody's very excited about that. And you can see the pictures if you go to the Twitter account, at Bill Curry Tampa. But give them a look. Again, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, or go ahead and you still can chuck them out a mile north of Raymond James on Dale Mabry Highway. Sean Sullivan, the GM, good friend of mine, mentioned me, mentioned the free stretch, mentioned Joe Bucks Fan. You get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing. So let's talk about the big news of the week, and not just the big news of the week, but this was really news that's going to affect the coming decades of the franchise. Even the Tom Brady thing, okay, is going to affect a few years out from now and things like that. But the new uniforms came out this past week. And we obviously talked about that many times, but, you know, we hadn't actually seen them. There had been leaks and things like that. So now we've seen them, and it turns out they are nearly identical to the uniforms the team had before they made the switch in 2013. Or actually, it was spring of 2014. 2013 was the last time they wore the uniforms before this most recent iteration. And so, just to start at the top with something like this, because I know some people, they quote-unquote get it when it comes to uniforms, and some people don't care one way or the other. They say, yo, you wear a burlap sack if you want to. All I care about is winning and losing. And that's fine. I mean, obviously, the ultimate goal is to win or lose games. But uniforms are very important to me. And some people, again, out there, you get it, others don't. There's nothing wrong. I'm not in, you know, either way, everybody's different. But when you think about what a sports uniform means, I mean, it's the same thing to me as what somebody looks like. Now, are looks everything in a person? No, of course not. But what's the first thing you think of when you think of a person? You think of the person, like you think of what they look like, right? Same thing with a sports team. Like, what's the first thing you think of when I say the name? Well, it could be any team, you know? LA Raiders, Pittsburgh Steelers, Kansas City Chiefs. You think of the uniforms. You think of that Steelers logo on the side of the helmet. You think of that arrowhead on the side of the Chiefs helmet. You think of the uniforms, right? And that might be the only thing you think of, really. But even if it's not the only thing, it's one of only a few things you think of. Maybe the team's stadium or things like that. Because players come and go. Like, whoever the players are, that will change from year to year. And it'll certainly change from decade to decade. And, you know, one of the old Jerry Seinfeld, one of his bits that he used to do in his stand-up routine was talking about rooting for sports teams and how we're just rooting for laundry, really. Like, that is true. Like, he's not wrong about that. We're rooting for laundry. It could be the same people or different people. And I'll give you an example. Jameis Winston, whether you like him or not, he was the Bucs quarterback these past 5 years. And so when he was out there playing quarterback for the Bucs, you were rooting for him. You were rooting for the Bucs. Jameis Winston, same person now. Whatever team he goes to, and I don't even know who it's going to be yet, but whatever team he ends up going to, he can end up coming back here and playing for a different team against the Bucs or something like that, and he'll be wearing a different uniform. Other team. Now all of a sudden you're rooting against him. And I'm hoping Jameis goes on and does well, but my point is, like, all you really have over the years and years and years and years, and I'm not just talking about any one season, but all you have over the decades is that icon, that symbol, the team's uniform. I mean, that's the one thing that's supposed to endure, and that's a big reason why I'm so against teams always changing every few years, or these teams in college that have, like, dozens of combinations where every week they look different. They, like, you never look the same. A team should look the same every week. Like, you should have a home and a road. Okay, I'll give you, like, a third alternate because I know we have ADD now and we can't just have two uniforms. But that should be it. Like, there should be a very, very basic, you know, maybe you have a different color pants every once in a while or something, but not this, oh, this week we're going, we got white helmets this week, we got dark helmets this week, we got dark jerseys, but this week we got a different color dark jersey. And you, it's never the same thing. That, to me, that's the antithesis of what a uniform is supposed to be. The word uniform Uni means one form, for one form, uniform, and everybody's supposed to look the same. And my old rule stands, like, you should be at a, able to be at a sports bar or some crowded restaurant or something, and there's a TV all the way across on the other side, could be 50, 60 feet away up in the corner by the ceiling, and you should be able to look up at that TV, the sound's muted, and just see from a distance and go, oh, yep, that's the Bucks, or oh, yep, that's the Steelers, or oh, yep, that's LSU, that's Alabama, whoever it is. Those are the uniforms that are the best ones, the ones that stay the same, the ones that endure. And I get very frustrated with people in their ADD who are always like, dude, you know what the Gators should do, dude? We need to come out with some black uniforms, dude. That'd be so fire, dude. Like, can you imagine how freaking cool that would be? No, no. That's moronic. I said earlier I didn't want to insult anybody, but I'm going to insult people. Like, that's the dumbest, like... And you know partly what I blame? And honestly, it's not even necessarily their fault. You know how these video games nowadays, like I grew up on Tecmo Bowl and RBI Baseball, which you could barely even see what uniform they were. It was pixelated, you know. But I grew up on those type of games. You go play Madden now, or any of these games. My son plays Madden, he plays FIFA, whatever it is. And when you go to play a game, like before the game starts, you get to select each team's uniforms. And you can scroll through about like 15 different uniforms for each team to pick out what they're going to wear for that game. And I'm trying to teach my son this now because he does this. Like, he'll scroll through and he'll be, you know, let's say on FIFA, he's going to be Manchester United, just to use it because the Glazers own them. We all know Manchester United at least a little bit. So they have an iconic, like, red jersey top and black pants. But he'll scroll through. They got all white. They got all black. And he doesn't know the difference. Like, he just thinks these are all choices for him. And I tell him, no, buddy, listen, like, Manchester United almost always wears the red and the black. Only if there's a contract, like, another team wearing red or something, or they have to wear their changeover. But it's not like every week, hey, let's pick out a different... I'm like, you should be wearing the red almost, like, 95% of your games, you should be wearing the red. And he's like, well, I think this looks cool. I'm like, no, it doesn't matter what... No, they have one uniform. Like, take it in, and then maybe a second one. But the millennials, as I'm on the tail end of the millennial generation. But the millennials, you know, they think, oh, yeah, well, let's just pick out something new every week. What's cool this week? What mood am I in? And that's garbage. That's a trash way to go about it. One thing I will say for the previous Bucks uniforms, and they were horrible, and they were an embarrassment. But at least with those, they really only wore two. They had their home red, their road white. They didn't really mix and match. They usually wore the pewter pants with the red jerseys, and they wore the white pants with the white, although I think the pewter looks better. But the point is, at least as ugly as they were consistent with them. And to me, consistency is more important than anything. So here we are. I want to thank the Buccaneers, first of all, because I had so little trust. And if you heard past shows, you know this. I had so little trust they were going to get this right, and I was so worried that they would... Even if they finally changed, they would just change to something else dumb and get even further away from where they were supposed to be. I had no faith that they were going to get this right, and they really did. Like, they played it straight down the line. They just went back to what they had been and just basically a little bit slightly modern tweaked version. If you even want to call it modern, I don't call it modern. They tweaked a few things from the old uniforms, kept a couple things from the most recent uniforms, and went right back to the thing that we all look at and say to ourselves, that's my football team. That's the Tampa Bay Bucks I recognize. And it was such a nice feeling, mainly. And I don't think the uniforms are perfect. There's little things I might not have done that way, honestly. But you know what? They kept it simple and familiar, and that, above all else, is most important. I've got an uncle, and I love him. He's a little bit different. He's always had some issues, and he's been known... He's homeless by choice, first of all. He's been this way for decades. But he's been known to fall off the face of the earth and not contact anybody for a while and then show up again. He's back. This is kind of like what seeing the new uniforms was like for me. It was like having a family member, a loved one, who'd been estranged for, in this case, 6 years, and you weren't sure if you were ever going to see him again. And then the Bucks came out with these uniforms this past week. And it looked just like what I'm used to seeing, the team that I've loved for so long. And it was like getting a member of the family back who'd been estranged. Like, it was really that nice. It was that emotional for me. I know a lot of you might be rolling your eyes thinking, my God, Bobby, I can't believe you take this stuff that seriously. But again, like, I'll never forget the day. I will never forget the day in 2014. And we had heard that they were going to come out with new uniforms. And at the time, you know, I wasn't as jaded and cynical as I am now. One of the reasons I'm as jaded and cynical as I am is because of what ended up happening in 2014. But I remember we had heard about the new uniforms and we hadn't seen them yet. And I remember it I remember exactly where I was. It's like one of those "where were you when" moments when I first saw the pictures of the Bucks uniforms that they came out with in 2014. I had gone to my mechanic. I can't remember why. But my mechanic, I had some car work done. I was picking up my car, and I got in my car, and I got a text from someone, and it just said something like OMG or oh my god, and that's all it said. But I knew, because it was around the time when the Bucks were supposed to be releasing it, I knew exactly what they were talking about, and my hands were shaking. And I got my phone, and I went on Twitter, knowing I was going to see it like any second now when I opened up Twitter. And I'll never forget seeing that picture of Doug Martin in that like running position, wearing the white uniform with those alarm clock numbers and just the angled stripes and the, I mean, I say this as literally as I can say it. None of my favorite teams, whether it be the Gators, the Bucks, the Lightning, or the Rays, none of the teams that I follow, none of the teams that I love, has ever done anything to hurt me on the field more than seeing those Bucks uniforms. And I was like, oh my god, like I can't believe we're one of these teams now. I can't believe I have to look at this. And at the time, I didn't know for how long it would be, but I thought it was going to be at least 10 years. I was like, I was speechless. It was that bad. And it never got better. Like every single Bucks game I watched from since then, I mean, for the past 6 years, I probably enjoyed it, for regardless of the outcome of the game, win or loss or whatever, I would say that I enjoyed every single Buck game I watched approximately 25 to 30% less simply because of the uniforms. Probably more than that. Like, it's just one of those things. I've said this before. Imagine your spouse, your wife or your husband or your significant other. Imagine them just coming home one day. Nothing wrong, no reason, no impetus for doing it whatsoever, but imagine them just coming home one day and they have, like, one of those Mike Tyson face tattoos. Like, imagine that. I'm serious. Like, try to picture that for a second. And other than that, they're the same. It's the same person, same personality, all the things you're supposed to be in love with, same person and everything, only now they have a Mike Tyson face tattoo. Would it just be like, oh, well, whatever. You know, looks aren't everything. It's not why I married this person. No, it'd be like, are you effing kidding me? Like, what did you do to your face? And now every day, you're going to look at that face tattoo. Every day when you wake up in the morning and they're laying next to you, every day when you come home or they come home from work, it's their face tattoo. That's what it was like having the Buccaneers wear these uniforms the past 6 years. For me. And of course, I mean, like, you're not going to divorce them, right? Like, that wouldn't be, well, maybe some of you would, but, like, it's not like, oh, I just, it's like, wow, I don't know what to say. Like, what the hell are you doing? Why would you do this? And I said I'd never forgive the Glazers for it. I'm going to forgive them now, though, because they got this right. Todd Van Horn at Nike, screw you. I'll never forgive you. You're trash. And all of Nike, see, this is a problem. Nike is trash. I'm convinced that if you just took Nike out of the equation, everything would be fine most of the time. If you look at uniforms like in the 80s and 90s and things like that, most teams looked their best then as far as their looks. And that was right before the dawning of when Nike got involved. And it started with Oregon, and then it kind of crept into, and now in college, it's still a big problem. But we're seeing a lot of teams right their wrongs. The Bucks did it. The Browns did it, or are doing it. They're going to come out with new uniforms soon in the next few days or whatever. They're going to look a lot like what they had before. The idiotic crap they came out with Browns on the pants down the side. That's all going away, thank God. And, of course, the Falcons, they got it even worse. I mean, I didn't like their uniforms before, but they still got Nike-fied all over again, and they're a clown show. But that's the way they want it, apparently. But I want to thank the Glazers. You know, I don't say stuff like this a lot of the time, but I really, really, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate them getting this right and fixing this. And like I said on Twitter, now, don't touch anything for at least 30 years. Like, don't even just be like the Steelers, be like the Cowboys, be like the Raiders, be like the Chiefs. You got your uniforms. Everybody knows who you are. You look at the Bucks, you say, that's the Bucks, and you ride with it. And I know a lot of people wanted the creamsicles to come back. And let me correct myself, because I hate when people call them creamsicles. It's just orange. I think creamsicle kind of is part of the problem. When people use the term creamsicle, they make it sound like a novelty. They make it sound like a joke. So I correct myself. A lot of people wanted the orange uniforms to come back. And obviously, I mean, that's my favorite uniform of all time. Bucko Bruce helmet, orange jersey, white pants. But they were never going to do that. If you look at what it would have taken to do something like that, Raymond James Stadium alone has 65,000 seats that are red and some are pewter. And the ones on the end of each row on the aisles all have the Bucks flag logo on them. I mean, you would have had to completely redo all of that. All right, the indoor practice facility at One Buck has that brand new facility, that new turf surface. It's got the Bucks colors and logos on that turf field. All that would need to be ripped up and replaced. At One Buck Place, if you go in the weight room, every single weight plate has the Bucks logo on it, the Bucks flag logo. In the auditorium, where they hold the big press conferences and stuff like that, every one of the seats on the end of the aisle, that cherry wood, hand-carved, it's probably machine-carved, but they've all got the logos etched into the wood, like all of that stuff. Like, just changing the uniforms and keeping the logo, it's seamless. You can do that overnight, and you're good to go, and nothing changes. But they would have had to revamp everything about One Buck Place. All the carpeting is red. Like, everything would have had to been changed back to the orange. And I'm not saying that's not doable, but it just, that was, to me, not very likely. And since we've heard talk about the NFL getting away from the one shell rule next season, possibly allowing teams to wear more than one helmet, it looks like it's going to be possible for the Bucks to be able to have their cake and eat it too by having throwback games once or twice a year, whatever it is, with the original orange uniforms. And those are fun. But I'll say this much about changing that one helmet rule, okay? The NFL needs to make clear you are only allowed to wear a different helmet for throwback reasons. Here's what we don't want. We don't want, hey, we got white helmets. Let's go with this helmet, but now we got white helmets too. Like, oh, we're going to mix and match every. No, no, no. You still have one helmet, one, and you can switch for throwbacks, and that's it. Because college football is a joke. All these teams, and they all think they're so cool, and they're not, because everybody does it now, and it's just, it's like Tweedledee, Tweedledum, monkey see, monkey do. But there's no reason for a team to just wear a white helmet, unless their helmet actually is, like, if their regular helmet's white, then fine. But, oh, we're going to wear a white helmet. Oh, we're going with carbonite, or what's it called, anthracite, or all this idiotic crap Nike throws out. And you people, some of you people, all right, there's literally nothing that Nike can come up with that wouldn't get at least a few people who are like, dude, these are just fire emojis, dude. These are so, I mean, it doesn't matter what the ugliest, dumbest, most out there possibility is, someone will say that is so cool, and y'all run out and buy the jerseys. And this is leads to me to my next thing. All right, part of the reason this all happened, and when I mean part of the reason this whole uniform thing even became a thing 20 years ago is because of the proliferation of grown adults going out and buying jerseys and wearing jerseys. Because that didn't used to be a thing. But when it became a thing, like in the 80s and 70s and things like that, I mean, you might see a few people in jerseys, but people didn't wear jerseys that often. I mean, I think maybe with hockey it was sort of a thing a little bit, but like, people didn't wear football jerseys to football games. Like, you didn't see as much of that, maybe a little bit. But now, like, it's a merchandising thing. And so what happens? Instead of the dog wagging its tail, the tail wags the dog. Now they design jerseys for merchandise, and they just let the players wear those. Where it used to be, they designed a uniform, and you could wear that uniform as a replica jersey if you wanted. Now it's like, oh, we got to design something that looks good at the club. We got to design something that looks good with baggy cargo jeans and, you know, whatever the hell the shoes people that think they're cool wear now. I don't know. But my point is, like, that's when this became a problem. So I've done a show on this. It was a while back, and I got a couple emails about it from people who were personally offended by being called out. But if you're above the age of like 15 or 16 years old, and I know this applies to a lot of people. I know I'm actually in the minority on this. But what in the hell are you doing wearing you're a grown-ass man. You're wearing a replica jersey with someone else's name on the back. Not that it looks cool if it's a blank jersey on the back. It still looks dumb. But do you know how dumb y'all look? Like, we're walking around wearing football jerseys or basketball jerseys or baseball jerseys. I mean, I tweeted this out earlier in the week, and I got a bunch of responses. Oh, well, you're just too cool for school, Bobby. Sorry, man. I'm just not cool enough to be like you, like real sarcastic. And look, hey, that's fine. Like, you're a grown man, so you don't have to worry about what other grown men say either. That's true. You don't have to care what I say. But, I mean, to me, It's really embarrassing when I see a 40-year-old guy walking around in like a Levante David jersey. Like, wait, come on, man. Like, what are you? Like, I wear a Bucks shirt to the games. I have like a Bucks T-shirt. I also have a Bucks like collared golf shirt too, and whatever. I'm not saying don't wear team stuff, but wearing actual jerseys, like, we need to collectively like take a step back and like kind of stop doing that. And if we did, a lot of things would get better. One, we wouldn't have as many people walking around looking like dorks. And two, this whole uniform industrial complex that we have going would kind of start to get starved a little bit. Because that's why teams change jerseys. One is because, oh, hey, we'll sell some new stuff. And two, that's why they design bad designs, because they think people think it looks cool when they put it on. So I've said my piece. I'm tired of it. I know y'all are going to do it anyway, and y'all are going to think you can roll your eyes at me all you want, and I can roll my eyes at you all you want, but I wanted it out there. So as far as the Bucks uniforms, there are a few slight differences. They did keep the big helmet logo, which I thought was too big. They did reduce it a little bit, though. So it's apparently, and this is, again, take whatever you will from this, but it's supposedly 13% smaller. So it's still bigger than the original Bucks helmet logo, but it's smaller than the past few years. And you know what? Fine. It's not a big deal. I think it looks better a little bit smaller, but it doesn't have to go back to the old size. I kind of think it looks fine. The face masks are back to black. Here's my one complaint about the Bucks uniforms now and 1997 through 2013. I thought black was too involved. Our colors are red and pewter. Black's not one of our colors. It shouldn't be one of our colors. So like that thick black trim around the numbers is way too thick. There's no need for the black face mask. The socks have black. To me, I would have just made everything red and pewter. Make the trim on the numbers pewter and that little bit of orange. I'm glad they retained that, because other than that, it would have looked too much like the Falcons, or like that's our trademark, that little thin orange piping between the white and the black. That was a big deal, keeping that. That's what makes it look like they used to look. But I think the black trim is too clunky, and I never cared for it even before. And I maintain that now. I would have done something now with trim a little bit thinner around the numbers and maybe just kept it to pewter and orange. But again, I'm nitpicking. I'm totally fine with this. Leave it be. They did come out with the third uniform that's all pewter. And of course, that's the first thing. Like, we get this huge news that we're finally going back to our rightful uniforms. And what's the first thing everybody says? Ooh, what about the all pewter, dude? How cool is that? Hey, look. I'm glad it's an alternate. They're only going to be able to wear it three times this season, and even that's too many. I wish it was once or twice. At least it's team colors. Some of these teams come out with like black uniforms, even though black's not one of their colors. So pewter is a color. I don't think it looks bad, but I'm not in love with it the way, again, probably most of the people with short attention spans are, that just can't stand the idea of having two uniforms. So fine. Although I'm not sure why they have a second pair of pewter pants. It's a different pair of pewter pants than the first one. I don't get that. But anyway, that's fine too. And the other thing they did was they're going back to the darker shade of red from before. I actually like the brighter red from the old uniforms. That's one thing I will say was okay about the old uniforms. I wouldn't have minded if they'd stayed with that. But again, it's a nitpick. It's all good. And we can, from here on in, just not be distracted by this. So I know I talked a while on uniforms. I know a lot of you probably like, hey, okay, we get it. Whatever, new uniforms. But that's the most important part, is that now we don't have to talk about it anymore. We've got our team, we've got our unis, and we're leaving that stuff alone. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful day in Tampa Bay to have this fixed, and I'm so happy about all of it. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com on Twitter. You can get me at BobbyGameDay. Couple other things I wanted to get to on the show today. Speaking of Jameis, a lot of you probably saw the tweet go out this week with Jameis, where it was David Carr, who's the older brother of Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. David Carr was the number one pick in the draft way back when by the Texans, and he ended up being a bit of a bust and is no longer in the league. He's an analyst for NFL Network. But anyway, Jameis Winston came out with some more video. He's been tweeting out and putting some stuff on Instagram lately of things, of his workouts and things like that, where he's doing various things, rehabbing from his knee or whatever. So he came out with one the other day, and David Carr had something to say about it, but he came out with something where he's doing this drill. There's this big, giant, like, heavy bag, like those big, they're shaped like speed bags in boxing, only they're really big, like they're the size of an entire, like, human torso, and they're heavy. And he's like standing in the pocket, pretending to do a drill. And his trainer's pushing the bag at him, and Jameis like ducks the bag and stays in the pocket, keeps his eyes downfield. The bag's not moving that fast or anything like that. But anyway, he posted this drill, and everybody started making fun of the drill. Like, oh my God, does this have anything to do with playing quarterback in the NFL? It looks like a very easy drill. Again, the bag's not moving that fast, so it's easy to dodge, and he ducks his head. Point is, David Carr came out with a tweet that said, stop. Stop paying your friends to train you. Stop and get some help. I've been in a lot of collapsing pockets, and never once did I have defenders just flying at my head. And then he did the crying, laughing emoji by David Carr. That was his tweet. Now, Jameis, to his credit, I'll say this about Jameis, forgetting about anything about his play on the field. Through the past several years, anytime anybody said anything, or anytime anybody, and there's been lots of criticism, a lot of it merited, some of it not. But anyway, he's never really, like, he doesn't get involved with media stuff. He hasn't chirped back at anybody or gotten into any beefs or anything like that. And this isn't really a beef, but he's basically stayed quiet and gone about his business. I will give him that much. But he did respond to this David Carr tweet, and it was interesting because, again, it's not like Jameis to even acknowledge stuff like this in his recent past, but I really think in this case he did it because he felt like Carr was saying something about his trainer as opposed to him. I don't think Jameis would have cared if it was just something about Jameis, but I think he felt like he wanted to stand up for his trainer. I give him credit for that. So he tweets back, hey, bro, I have nothing but love for you. Reach out to help or mind your business, though. I've been working with my personal trainer since I was 14. We built this from the bottom, and we're still building. Treat others how you wanted to be treated, bro. Hashtag, is it La Hater? Or is it LA Hater? I'm not sure. And hashtag social distancing. And then he attaches a video, and this is a really good job by Jameis. He attaches a video of him in the pocket in a game against the Saints where he does the exact thing in a game that he's doing during the drill, where a Saints defender who beats Donovan Smith, by the way, off the right edge, comes right at Jameis, sticks his hand out, Jameis ducks it, stays in the pocket, shuffles, just like he's doing in the drill. So he kind of makes his point right there. So, again, I think the cool thing about it for Jameis is that he's standing up for a buddy of his. He's standing up for someone who he considers part of his family and his trainer, and I will give him credit for that. Still no word on where he's going to go, and there won't be probably till after the draft, after things shake out a little bit, but he's going to be somewhere, and I really hope it does well. I mean, I really do. Like, I know sometimes I think about, like, why do I even care? Like, Jameis isn't, like, a sympathetic figure. He's got millions of dollars. He's obviously done himself no favors off the field, and some people would argue that he's lucky to have ever even been able to play in the NFL. And again, I'm not even arguing any of that, but for whatever reason, I guess, you know, maybe it's the quarterback position or whatever it is, but I'm more interested in what he's going to do down the road than other examples of players for the Bucs that have moved on to other teams in the past. I usually, you know, like I said on the top of the show, I'm rooting for the Bucs. I'm rooting for Laundry. A guy moves on from the Bucs, I mean, I wish him well, but I don't really care one way or the other. And maybe it's just being personally invested in being right, because I've said how I still think Jameis can play, how I still think he's going to be a player in this league. I think that's mainly what it is for me. I'm just personally invested in still being right. But I do hope he goes on and does well. And I think he's got a lot to offer compared to a lot of the quarterbacks you see in the league. And when I'm watching, like, Devlin Hodges, I know Roethlisberger's supposed to be back for the Steelers, or when I'm watching Trubisky, or when I'm watching Case Keenum, or all these guys, and I'm thinking, you know, I always like when it's anything with pro sports, when it's 32 teams, I feel like the top 32 quarterbacks should be the starting quarterbacks. Like, I hate when there's a backup on one team who's better than a starter on another. I like for there to be order in the world. I think the top 96 quarterbacks in the world should be the three quarterbacks on each NFL roster. You know, things like that. I think the top, you know, however many it is, Major League Baseball players, there's 25 guys on a roster, there's 30 teams, so I think the top 750 players in the world should be the 750 guys in Major League Baseball. Now, it doesn't always work out like that. Mostly it does, but there's probably a few guys who are sitting at home who are better than a few guys at the bottom of Major League rosters, and there's probably a few quarterbacks who are backups. There are a few quarterbacks who are backups that are better than guys you see starting on Sundays. I think that would definitely be the case if Jameis ends up being a backup this season, which it looks like he'll at least start out the season that way. But we'll see. And either way, it's one of those things that there'll be a lot more clarity to it after the draft, which is 13 days from now. very, very excited, more excited than ever, in fact. I think most of you probably feel that way. I know a lot of you are probably draft people to begin with, but even you guys have to be even more excited now than normal because of everything going on, and it's been tough. It's been tough. I mean, I've said before, you could quarantine me for a whole year with sports on TV, I'd probably be all right. But the combination of just having nothing going on outside and nothing going on inside is what's made it pretty tough. And, you know, looking ahead, because there's been a lot of discussion this week, and there's going to keep being discussion until we have anything concrete about it, about, you know, what's the future look like with football season, college and pro. I've seen a lot of people, and people are getting into fights about it, because some people will say, oh, well, they're still going to have college football season. Someone else will say, no way, man, they're not going to be able to do it till at least Thanksgiving, probably not even at all till 2021. Oh, no, well, you're just negative, man. What's so wrong about being positive? Why can't you just open your mind to the possibility? And people get mad about what other people, like, think could happen, even though literally none of us know, okay? And I've said that a million times, like, there is no agree or disagree. Like, I agree with you, this will happen when, or I agree with you, that won't happen. There's no agree or disagree. Nobody knows. So it's not like an opinion. Like, in this guy's opinion, football season won't happen until 2021. Well, in another person's opinion, it'll happen in August like normal. I mean, everybody's got their opinions, but nobody knows, man. What Chip Kelly, who's the UCLA head coach, said is probably true. Because all this back and forth really just ignores. He said all that's going to matter is what state and local and the federal government too, what those governments say. I mean, if the NCAA says, we got a plan, here's what we want to do, and the governor of California or the governor of Florida or the governor, I'm not talking about just politics here, I just mean in general, the governor of whatever state says, nope, the lockdown is going until whatever date, then they ain't going to be football until that's lifted. Period. I mean, that's, you know, that it's not up to Gary Bettman in the NHL or Roger Goodell or any of the commissioners, you know, Rob Manfred. They all can make contingency plans for different contingencies, and they are doing that. And they can have different things ready to go depending on whatever date something happens, and there's probably dozens of those, and I'm sure they all have drop dead dates when it's no longer possible for anything to happen in 2020. But it's not a simple matter of will. Now, with that said, I do like, see, I like people, tell me how we can do something. Don't be the person that's always saying, oh, we can't do that because, tell me how we can do something. So sometimes these plans get leaked, like one got leaked by Major League Baseball earlier today. And right when these plans get leaked, there's always a few people, no way, dude, I don't even know why they're bothering with it. They're bothering with it in case there's a possibility it could happen. And if it doesn't happen, nobody got hurt. It didn't cost like a ton of money to come up with a contingency plan. But quit poo-pooing everything that gets floated right out of the gate. I mean, I like at least the idea of, hey, let's think of ways we can make something happen. Not come up with all the reasons why. There's always reasons why you can or shouldn't do something. You can come up with a million of them and sit on your ass forever. That goes for life, not just sports. And I'm guilty of it too. But come up with reasons why you can. And I'll tell you this right now. And this is what, at least I'm confident in this. You know, sometimes you kind of get that feeling in the back of your head, well, they don't really want this bad enough anyway, so they're not going to try that hard to make it happen. I know that's not true with these sporting events and these leagues because there's so much money at stake. So I know they're going to move heaven and earth if they have to play the NFL season somehow, some way. They're going to move heaven and earth somehow to play the college football season somehow, some way. If they don't play them at all, if we just completely skip the 2020 season in all of football, it will be because things were really, I mean, it'll be one of those things where we won't end up arguing about it because it will have much bigger problems. So it might get delayed, it might get shortened, it might get twisted and turned in ways we don't even recognize. But the NCAA especially, I mean, those guys, I mean, these programs can't stay afloat without their football money. They ain't just going to sit there and be like, oh, well, that's the breaks, you know, better safe than sorry. I mean, they will do what the safest thing is, but they're also not going to just sit back and just let it go by the boards. They're going to do every single thing they can to make it happen, and that's the one thing that gives me confidence. And I do think that football will be played in the 2020 season. It may not be in 2020, but in other words, I think there's going to be a season somehow. And there's been, again, a lot of crazy things floated, like I talked about last week, how Pro Football Talk had said, oh, they need to find a remote location, coronavirus-free, build fields and build facilities and build living facilities and play in basically a biodome bubble-type situation. It seems crazy. It is crazy. But again, hey, when you have brainstorming sessions, sometimes it's not the idea that you brain that the first thing you said isn't the thing, but then something came out of that that was more possible. There's a million different ways it can go. So don't be afraid to float stuff. The latest from Major League Baseball today, and I kind of like this one. This is from Bob Nightingale in USA Today. He says, Major League Baseball, assessing myriad proposals, has discussed a radical plan that would eliminate the traditional American and National Leagues for 2020 and realign all six divisions based on spring training geography for an abbreviated season. The plan would have all 30 teams returning to their spring training sites in Florida and Arizona, playing regular season games only in those two states and without fans in an effort to reduce travel and minimize risks in the midst of a pandemic. The divisions would be realigned based on the geography of their spring training homes, and the plan would allow teams to return to the comforts of their spring training sites for 3 weeks of training before opening the regular season in those same sites and playing a schedule with wholly different divisional opponents. So, for example, here in Florida, you'd have, instead of an American and National League, you'd have the Grapefruit and the Cactus Leagues, just like they have, only you'd have it grouped by site. So the North Division, you know, here in Tampa, we got the Yankees, we got the Phillies in Clearwater, Dunedin with the Blue Jays, Lakeland with the Tigers, and Bradenton with the Pirates. That's the Grapefruit North, and this would be a regular season division. In the South, you know, the Rays are down there in Port Charlotte, so you'd have the Red Sox, the Twins, they're both in Fort Myers, the Braves are near Port Charlotte, the Orioles in Sarasota, and the Rays. And then in the East, you'd have all the teams on the East Coast, the Nationals, the Astros, the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Marlins. It works out perfectly. It really does. And you could even, if you wanted to, take Bradenton with the Pirates and put them in the South and let the Rays use Tropicana Field instead of using Port Charlotte. And, you know, you could do that too. And they could use Tropicana Field for multiple games. They could use Chase Field in Phoenix as well as the spring training sites. They could use Marlins Park in Miami. You know, that's three domed or retractable roof stadiums, all with artificial grass, that you could use as well as all the spring training sites. And, hey, this sounds a little far-fetched. I mean, obviously you still have players clustered together in clubhouses and locker rooms playing against each other on fields. Yeah, there's no fans. They televise all of it. So someone like me, I work in television. I'm the guy that does, like, if you watch a game, a part-time job I've had for over 10 years now is I work at Rays games and Lightning games, and I do the little score box on the top of the screen. That's when you watch a game, it's not always me, because I do a lot of the road telecasts, not the home ones. But, you know, I've done stuff for Yes Network, for Yankees Telecast, NESN, for Boston. I do a bunch of them. So if this were to be something they actually implemented, I would be one of the people working in a TV truck. Even though there wouldn't be any fans, I'd still be, I'm frothing at the mouth for the chance to do this. Okay? I'm not afraid in any way. And you know what? Maybe I'm naive. I mean, honestly, if you told me we were just doing everything back to normal tomorrow, and there was, if you said, hey, tomorrow there's a Bucks game at Raymond James Stadium, are you willing to go sit with 65,000 people at the game? I would go. I really would. Maybe that's dumb. Maybe that's taking a needless risk, but I would do it. But I'd certainly have no problem going to work right now. And I think a lot of people, and you'd have to ask the players, the coach, all the people involved. It's not just players, but all the people involved. I think if you surveyed them, a lot of them would say yes, but not all of them. If you asked everybody in quarantine if they'd be willing to watch it, I think most people would say, hell yes. Anything. So again, is this plan going to actually happen? I seriously doubt it. I think we'll either be able to play or we won't be able to play, but I don't think there's an in-between where we use spring training sites and all that. I mean, it's either okay to play or it's not. Probably. But I don't know that. And I appreciate that there are plans out there and that there are people who are trying to make this work. And if we can't, so be it. But just stop poo-pooing everything and just talking about how, forget about it, it's not going to happen until 2021. No. No. How long has the last 2 weeks felt? Felt like a really long time, right? You know how long 3 months from now is, or 4 months? I mean, that's an eternity. I have no idea. There's no telling what things will be like 4 months from now. There's no telling what things will be like 4 weeks from now. So everybody just stop pretending to know what the future is. Stop digging in. And let's just all acknowledge that we don't know. And as always, as the official stance of this show, and it should be the official stance of all of our lives, yes, listen to the experts, listen to the doctors. I'm not saying come up with your own theory and roll with that. But, you know, even they are constantly changing. Things, messages are changing, information changes. I mean, all these things are changing. We don't know things now that we're going to know a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now. So that's what sucks. I talked about my whole show last week was about how the hardest part is just not having a drop dead date and knowing like this will be over X day. And it's just kind of this limbo thing. That sucks. But just keep an open mind. In the meantime, practice all the things they're asking us to practice. It appears like it may be working a little bit. And when it works, don't say, oh, see, we didn't need to do that after all, when it probably is because we did the things we're doing. And just, you know, let's make it happen. Can do, not can't do, can do. So thank you guys. I'm done for now. I'll be honest with you. I've had some fun doing these shows during the quarantine. It's actually been a little bit more fun than I thought it would be. We'll be back next week. I'll probably be back out here on the back porch again, even though it's a little sticky right now doing it during the daytime. I have to go back to a nighttime recording, but we'll be back next week with whatever fun awaits us. I didn't even get to the Tom Brady stuff. We'll get to more of that next week. Of course, nothing is changing now, but he is living in Tampa, and he is training, and just like the rest of us, he's staying ready. So thanks to all of you for listening. It's been a ton of fun. Thanks to the Glazers for doing the right thing and making life in general better. Now that the Bucks no longer have hideous uniforms, hopefully they never will again. Thanks to Thomas Bassinger, by the way. I didn't mention him earlier in the show, but he put this issue at the forefront as a member of the local print media and, you know, had the hashtag for the children, fix the uniforms. And you can't underestimate the work he did and the role it played in helping move this along. Thanks to him. Thanks to our sponsors at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes, a Joe Bucks fan, for giving me the platform here, the single best place on the internet for Bucks coverage. Things may be slow around other parts with this quarantine, but things are red-hot busy every single day at joebucksfan.com. Do not hesitate to check it and refresh it because things are going up all the time. We'll talk more draft next week. But hey, in the meantime, wherever you are, stay home, be safe, keep yourself active, go for walks, go for bike rides, whatever it is. Have fun. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.